thefourpersons.com. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God.
Hello, everyone, and happy first Friday of Lent, 2024. How you doing, William?
Hey, I'm doing well, John. How about you? Can you believe it's already Lent? Like, where's the year gone?
Yeah, like, where's the decade gone?
Yeah, true story. No doubt.
So, I don't know that the Four Persons Network could have had a better first year.
It's been a fantastic year. I mean, I was listening to your show the other day, the update with Richard, the Divine Mercy, and you're talking about all these number one shows that have happened over the past year, and you're like, this would be great if we can just have one.
Yeah.
What's it been like six or seven or something like that?
Well, we've had 13 top 10 shows.
Okay, I was close. I was close. That's amazing.
Honestly, when we started, I was optimistically thinking, okay, we can have one top 10 show in our first year. We've had 13.
That's amazing.
And look at some of the guests that we've had on. And we're just putting out a lot of really good content. So you've decided to kick it up a notch as far as the networking, as far as getting us out on different platforms, and you decided to form the Bible Catholic Network as just kind of an offshoot of what you've already done. So why don't we start there? Could kind of talk about the genesis of what's brought you to creating this network, and then we'll go with what you're attempting to accomplish with it.
Okay, so the Bible Catholic Network, like you said, it's kind of offshoot of what I've been doing. My YouTube channel is called The Bible Catholic. And I've had a podcast before called The Bible Catholic Show, etc. But I've had this idea for a network for actually a few years and just kind of put it on the shelf. But really, about November timeframe, I really felt this inkling, okay, like this is something I need to do. And so just praying about it. And finally, I decided in January of this year to go ahead and launch it. And the whole point of the network is to, well, get the gospel out there, get the truth of the Catholic faith out there. And we have lots of great shows out there. I mean, everyone knows about Catholic Answers Live, all these great things, Ascension, everything that they're doing, you know, all the great stuff that Father Mike is doing out there. But there's a lot of great content out there with a lot of smaller platforms. And so I just wanted to help them grow their brands, get their message out there. And right now we're up to seven shows, and it's been a great month and a half. That's really all it's been, a month and a half. We have something like 4,000 downloads already. It's just great. Couldn't ask for a greater reception out there.
Yeah. And of course you're now one of the directors at Catholicism Rocks, and we've been associated with those folks for quite a while now.
Right.
Boy, they're just great people. Sean and Kathy and the whole group over there, they're just great people, and they're doing great things. But between Catholicism Rocks and the Bible Catholic Network and the Four Persons and Gary Machuto and what all these other people are doing, it's really a beautiful thing, William, because we're all on the same page. We're all
absolutely.
It's the mission is bigger than us. It's not about John Benko or William Hemsworth or Ken Litchfield or Gary or Luke or any. It's not about us or even Lisa. Lisa's doing wonderful things.
Amazing.
With, with her music ministry. And yet it's all for the, it's all for the bigger message. And, you know, it's kind of funny that you said about November, you got this, this inkling to finally start this network. I made a decision in November as well. And that's when I decided I have to stop putting off this trip to Israel. It's something I've wanted to do for decades. And it's too expensive. I can't get the time off. It's, you know, and I looked at the price tag. And I don't know if you've looked at the price tag of the trip to Israel with Steve Ray. It's not cheap.
Okay. No, it is not. I've talked to Steve about that before when the pandemic hit. I had him on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And yeah, not cheap, but with everything that he takes you to, I mean, it's well worth its weight in gold. I mean, honestly, it's going to be, you're going to have a great time, John. I have no doubt. I'm jealous. It's on my bucket list to go do that trip as well. So I'm looking forward to those trips and whatever live streams you do out there. I'm looking forward to all that.
Well, I was talking to Ken about that yesterday. You guys are definitely going to be involved because I'm planning on sending something content-wise every day that I'm over there, whether it's a short live stream or a blog talk radio show or something. So you guys are going to kind of have to be on the receiving end of some of that stuff, you know, to kind of help me out with that. And I have no doubt that you will. But really the genesis of me making this decision, by the way, I made the decision Thanksgiving week. And the base cost of this is about $9,000. Okay. I owe $500. That's where I am since the end of November. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be in but through overtime and just, you know, just things have worked out, you know, to just keep chopping that wood.
Yeah.
And I've got it down to, and I've lived a sheltered life. I've never been outside of my own time zone in my life. And this is just something that's just so big, so much bigger than anything that. Someone's asking if it's a question and answer show. If you have a question, absolutely post it. We'll take questions, right?
Sure. And I'm excited. I'm excited for you on that trip. That's great. I heard about that and I was blown away. It's always something I've wanted to do. My wife wants to do it.
Well,
we'll do it someday.
It's going to be something that has to be, it's going to be incorporated into what we're doing, William. And this is what we were just talking about. It's something that I'm going to share with you. This is not about just John going and keeping it to himself. I'm going to share the pictures and the videos and the experience with you all. And try to, you know, bring you there as much as possible. And William, we've had some great saints in the history of our church. Just phenomenal men and women beyond anything that you and I will probably ever be. Okay. Right. Imagine if they had the resources that we have, if they had the media, how many people could St. Francis of Assisi have reached if he had what we have now?
Right. I mean, you're over in Virginia. I'm in Tucson, Arizona, and here we are talking live to whoever wants to listen to this, really, because it's going to be on demand and everything else. And yes, we're live streaming, but here we are. I mean, yeah. There's no delays. Week, no, I mean, it's amazing.
Last week we were doing a live stream with Tony and Paulette Rock from Bethlehem.
Right.
There, yeah. I mean, get your mind around that. Okay. That we're live streaming with somebody in Bethlehem. I mean, that even 20 years ago, that was just unthinkable that we would be able to do something like that live. And that's really the genesis of what you're trying to do. You're trying to take that technology and just really, really run with it. So you decided to launch the Bible Catholic Network on Substack. why there? What advantages does that platform give you?
Well, Substack is really for the newsletter. So for each show, I have their own individual feeds, and I did that through a company called RSS.com. And really, for $20 a month, I could have as many shows on that network as possible. But on Substack, Substack is a very popular platform. Pretty much there's tons of content on there, tons of newsletters on there. So every week I go in and I advertise the top show for that week from all the shows in my network. That way there's just some extra exposure out there. And Substack has a really high open rate for each of my newsletters. For everyone that's emailed out, it's opened 93% of the time right now, which is huge. Because I don't know about you, John, but I get these newsletters in my email. Delete. Honestly, unless it's something that really intrigues me. But not only that, there's a social media component to Substack as well. It's kind of like, they call it Notes, and it's kind of like, I still call it Twitter, but you know, X. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For that. So you could post it there. You could network with other creators. There's a lot of authors on there. There's a lot of radio hosts, a lot of fellow podcast creators that are on there. And it's really just a way of networking, checking out each other's content, and getting all the shows that are in my network, additional listens, views, and just get their message out there. So when something's on there every week, something goes out on the Four Persons. When I upload some new shows, I try to share little snippets and links to the show on LinkedIn, Substack, Twitter, Facebook, all those places. I'm going to be doing Instagram soon. I haven't had time to make an Instagram page yet for it, but that's going to happen very soon. So I'm excited for that because Instagram is a huge platform as well. And a lot of the young people are using it. That's where they're getting a lot of their content. And a lot of the shows I have, like Four Persons, for example, is on the network. Gary Machuda's Apocrypha Apocalypse is on there. Ann DeSantis's Journey of Faith. Bill Snyder's Young Catholics Respond. All these shows are on there that are young people are looking for answers. Even some of us older people are looking for answers. And so we have to go to those other platforms as well. But with Substack, it's just a way of networking. It's very popular. It's a very user-friendly platform. It's easy to share the content. It's easy to subscribe to the content. And they actually promote your content as well. So it's really a win-win. And it doesn't cost anything to do, which is also good. So.
All right. So here's the question from a Facebook user. I'm married to a non-Catholic, and without remembering, Ash Wednesday was the same day as Valentine's Day. I planned an evening date with my wife. When I realized the day was Ash Wednesday, went to Mass instead of this date. I told her I put Jesus first, and now she is mad at me. Any advice from one married guy to another? Guess what? Man. I'm going to put you in the hot seat on that one. I'm not touching that one.
So I totally understand the sentiment. And I could look at it two ways here. One from every direction, John. One, Ash Wednesday, as great as it is not a holy day of obligation. We're not obligated to go to Mass on that day. If you do, that's great. You chose to do that. That's great. On the other hand, I can see where she's coming from. You promised her a night out. I get that. As a husband, our first vocation is our marriage, right? Our vocation is marriage. So I could see it. So I would just say words of advice to get you out of the doghouse, whoever you may be. Because I've been there myself. Yeah, you chose to go to Mass. That's honorable. And I'm sure in time she's going to see that. So don't stress over it. Apologize. Maybe take her out tomorrow night. Maybe take her out Sunday night. Take her out again. Okay. Take her out for a nice dinner, wherever her favorite restaurant is. Ask her what she wants to do. Or better yet, if you know, just surprise her. Hopefully that's some good advice. I can see it from both perspectives. Don't beat yourself up over it too much. Apologize. In time, I'm sure she'll see it. She'll understand.
Yeah. I look back at, you know, some of the mistakes I made in my marriage and why things went wrong. And, you know, there's the things that were my fault, the things that were her fault, and then there were the things that were nobody else's fault that were our fault because of the way that we reacted to those things. But I will say this. I was too willing, in retrospect, I was too willing to compromise on my faith in order to make them happy.
Yeah.
I should have been much more firm in setting the ground rules, because what happened is you start sending a mixed message. Mm-hmm. You start sending a mixed message. And when you start sending a mixed message, you start looking like a hypocrite. And so my advice, what I have learned, is that you and your spouse should show your kids that you love God more than you love each other.
1,000%.
That's the foundation of your marriage. That's the cornerstone of your marriage. You know, Christmas Day, you're going to church, period. That's what you're telling your kids. And, you know, those were the kind of things that I would get frustrated. I would get tired of fighting, and okay, I'm going by myself. And mm-hmm. I should have laid down the law on things like that. It's Christmas Day. It's about the Savior. Santa Claus and opening presents is just fine. It's just nice. But it has its place, and that place is secondary to what this day is really about. That's just one example.
Sure. No, and like I said, the question, they chose to go to Mass. That's great. Just try to understand where the other person is coming from as well. A little empathy. Not saying they're not being empathetic or anything. And I'm sure in time, she loves you. She knows that you take your faith seriously. In time, understand. I mean, I've done some stuff as well. We've all done stuff, right, John? I mean, really, let's be honest. We've all done some stuff. And my wife has, I've cooled down one way or the other. My wife has done the same. We try to see each other's viewpoints.
Yeah.
And we go from there.
Yeah.
But like you said, we have that, my wife and I, we have that understanding. Christmas, Mass, Easter, Mass. Valentine's Day this year, I'm also a basketball coach. We had 3 games. I didn't go home until about 8 o'clock, so that was already scratched for me anyway. But we're gonna make up for it. We're gonna go out next weekend. But of course, we're doing next Friday, we're also doing the soup night at my parish and the Stations of the Cross, since we couldn't go to Ash Wednesday. We're doing something because we couldn't get to the Ash Wednesday Mass and everything else. So, if that makes sense.
William, I love being Catholic. And
me too.
I think that's one of the things that grieves me the most about my family, is because they've lost that. And they've lost it kind of through their own choice. And I think they don't realize what a beautiful church we belong to. What a beautiful faith we belong to. What a beautiful heritage we belong to. Right. I had somebody the other day that asked one of these questions they asked was, you know, how can Catholics say that their religion is the true religion when it's produced so many, you know, bad, despicable, you know, type of people? And I said, okay, are you judging us by our worst? Or are you judging us by our best?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, judge us by our best, and then tell me who your faith tradition has that can stand up against St. Francis of Assisi, Mother Teresa.
John, there was a little delay there. Not only that, but think of these despicable popes. Now, the church has been around 2,000 years. With those horrible leaders, the church is still here. I mean, if you wanted to, it has to be of God at that point. If all these horrible leaders were, you know, heading it up on earth, and here it is, it's still standing. I mean, Look at the church in Africa. It's flourishing right now. Absolutely flourishing. Other parts of the world, absolutely flourishing. The church is still growing. We may not see it here in the United States. Don't be wrong. We have some issues here in the United States with the church. But worldwide, it's still growing. There's more persecution now than there was when Christianity started, yet it's still growing. And it's growing in those places where persecution is the worst. And that's just an amazing thing. When you think about it, it's of God. It wouldn't still be growing if it wasn't. If it was just a man-made religion, as so many claim, it would have died off centuries ago.
Yeah. Well, I love it when people claim that Christianity is a man-made religion. I love that argument. Okay, so, all right, so I'm going to join a religion. I'm going to form a religion where I have to deny myself. I have to take up my own cross and follow even to death if necessary. Why would I create a religion like that? If I were to create a religion, I would
be about me. Yes, amen. I couldn't agree more. It's really a nonsensical argument.
Yep.
Truly.
Here's another question. Is it okay to be a Catholic nomad, meaning I go to several different parishes? One, for instance, is 50 miles away. I don't really see any problem with that. As long as they're in communion with the Holy See, I've done this. Sometimes I have to do the same thing myself. And here's why, William, because I'm in a kind of a job that the schedules change sometimes. Yeah. Okay. So I can't go to evening mass today, but I could go to the morning mass over here, or I can't make confession over here, but this confession I could make, you know, and I do the same thing myself.
You're going to mass, my friend. That's what matters.
Yeah. I love what you said, because our brains were tracking the same place when you said that the Catholic Church is flourishing in Africa in the middle of bloodshed that's,
right,
you know, unspeakable. It's dangerous to be a Catholic in Africa now. The so-called civilized governments of the world, like the United States, are doing nothing.
Right. And one more thing about Nigeria, John, and I don't know what it's like in Virginia. I can just speak for Arizona, at least Tucson. A lot of the new priests we have are missionaries from Nigeria. My pastor, missionary from Nigeria, our associate from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. They're on fire for the faith, and they are not afraid to show it. It's just beautiful. A lot of new priests in my diocese are from Nigeria. Nigeria, okay. Think Nigeria now. They're evangelizing us. Africa is evangelizing us now. It's amazing when you think about it. There's all the persecution over there, but they're producing all these vocations. They're producing all of these saints, really, because there's a lot of martyrs, so they're automatically saints. I mean, we have a lot to learn from that. We really, truly do. Are we willing to put our lives on the line just to go to Mass? Or is the Super Bowl more important? The viewers could answer that question on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something to think about.
No, it's an absolutely valid question. And well, you're right when you said we got problems in this country. The Catholic Church in this country is, we're just doing a good job of cannibalizing ourselves. And why is that? I don't know if it's a battle for clicks or web page stats or whatever, but it just seems like there's this propensity for the outrageous, the outrageous statement, especially attacks on the Pope, and you know, legitimate criticisms about, well, maybe he should have said this way, or, you know, I don't like the fact that, you know, he's not coming down hard enough on this person. Legitimate, positive criticism is okay.
Sure.
But there are attacks on the Pope, on the Holy Father, that are just vicious today, including, you see these false quotes online. They'll take something
like the one going out today, like, eat whatever you want during Lent, that one.
That's yeah. What's behind this?
Satan. Satan wants to divide us. He doesn't want the unity, because unity is a attack on him. I mean, that's really plain and simple. I think we forget sometimes. So, John, I come from the Protestant world, and there's a lot of talk about spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget as Catholics sometimes that spiritual warfare is real. Satan is, he wants to sow those seeds of division in families. Okay, not just the nuclear family, but the church family as well. Because you and I were baptized, we are brothers in Christ. We are part of God's family. And everyone who's baptized is part of God's family. And if Satan can divide us, well, guess what? How many new set of acantists are there? And I don't know the answer to this question, because of some of these false accusations.
Yeah.
Okay, leading them astray. Like leading souls astray from the truth for, and this is just my opinion, for the sake of clicks, because the more clicks you get on YouTube, the more revenue you make, etc. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting clicks on YouTube, but when you're being deceitful about it and intentionally misinterpreting what is being said, and like I said, there are valid critiques we can make. Totally valid critiques we can make, but there's a difference between a critique and a flat out denial of the papacy.
And flat out make difference stuff there. Up. I mean, that's
the sin of calumny, right? Yeah. I mean, that's really, we're breaking one of the Ten Commandments there by doing that. And people are, and not everyone, but there are prominent internet Catholics who are very quick to do this.
Let me touch on another nerve that you just touched on. It's interesting that the listener talked about Ash Wednesday and Ash Wednesday and St. Valentine's Day falling on the same day. I remember vividly the last time that happened, and I was, you know, I watched it happening in real time, and it was horrific. And of course, I'm talking about the shooting at the school in Parkland, Florida, that happened when Ash Wednesday and St. Valentine's Day fell on the same day. And this goes back to what you were just talking about people want to deny the devil. They want to deny the existence of evil. The shooter, when he was arrested, said he was hearing demons. He was hearing voices that, and all his life he, and it's not an isolated event. Many of these mass shooting events have been young people who've been involved in the occult, who've openly stated that they're involved in the cult and that they've heard demons, they've heard voices. And the media immediately dismisses it as mental illness. Well, William, my brother, Mike, who died in 2015, was a legitimate schizophrenic, and it was very sad. It was very difficult to watch. He heard voices of, you know, people who weren't there. I'm not making light of it. It was very painful. But he died with his rosary in his hand. Never would it have entered into the man's heart to enter into a school and kill a bunch of kids. You can't explain that with mental illness. There's something more there. And one of the reasons we decided to create the four persons, of course, it's based on Mark chapter 12, verse 30. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and your whole strength. The modern psychiatric profession, William, wants to deny the emotional person and the spiritual person and basically reduce us to robots. We're all mental impulses and human physical urges. We cease to be human beings at that point, don't we?
Well, it's definitely everything's connected, right? Our mind, our soul, all of that is connected. Our emotions, we're emotional beings. Everything is connected. And if one part is suffering, the rest will eventually suffer.
Yeah. So when you deny the existence of good and evil, Adolf Hitler and Mother Teresa are the same person. What difference? What quantitative difference can you make between them? They're the same, right?
Kind of. Then at that point, what is evil? Because, and I hate even having these words come out of my mouth, for some, what Adolf Hitler did was not evil, and clearly was. When things are subjective, we start running into some serious problems. And that's a good point that you bring up.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you lose the objective standard, which is God, which is the Judeo-Christian foundation that our nation was founded upon, and that civilization has been the bedrock of civilization for two millennia, You lose sight of that. You lose touch with that. Not surprising that we live in a world that's on fire. It's a mess. The world is. We can't trust our government. We can't trust our media. People are being squeezed by the government from one side and corporate world from another side, and greed and lust and envy and the drive for power and money and luxury, it's out of control.
Even through all those things, John, we can still find good things happening. And I think we need to remember that. We can still see people rising up. We could still see people of faith doing great things in the name of Christ. We could still see all those things. I mean, Christ told us these things were going to happen. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, they suck, okay? Let's be blunt. It sucks. But Christ overcame the world, and he said, take heart. I've overcome the world, okay? And he's always with us. He said he's with us through the end of the age. That means he's never going to leave us. He's with us in the Eucharist, in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. He's with us all the time. I think sometimes we can get dragged down by all those things that are going around by looking the news. I mean, we could look at the news and be dragged down and get bummed out and everything else. And instead of looking at those good things that are also happening, that's another thing with social media and everything. It's the negative stuff that drives those clicks, but there's also good things happening. And we really need to see those. I'm not saying ignore those bad things, because they are happening and we need to work to alleviate those things. And that's part of our work as Christians as well, is to bring Christ to others.
Well, I think the other thing that you have to do is you have to go back to the center. You have to go back to the core. Okay. This is what's important. Yep. This is what's real, and everything outside of this is really the illusion. And William, that's why I decided to go to Israel. But to your point, I think there's reason to really be optimistic when you look at this young Catholic generation.
Oh, yeah.
They're on fire. They're on fire for Christ. I really am optimistic. I think the young generation of upcoming Catholics is far more engaged and far more on fire than our generation. Do you see the same thing?
I do. And in my diocese last weekend, there was a mass and a ceremony to honor the youth. I think it was something like 50 teenagers were honored for their service to the church. I mean, these are kids from 9th grade to 12th grade, so high schoolers, devoting their time to the church. Some of them are teaching the young kids. They're catechists already. Of course, there's altar servers in there. There's lectors. All these great things. They're going out in the community, feeding the homeless, working at the soup kitchen. All of these great things are happening in our church. Like I said, a lot of the young people, they're on fire. They see that. Let's not be naive, John. These young people see the same things we see. Sometimes I'm a teacher and I talk to these kids every day. They see the same things that we see. And they're pretty blunt about it. They don't hide the truth. And they want to see change as well. And they're starting to see things are wrong. And these young people are seeing that even though things are crazy in the world, there's beauty in the church. There's beauty in the faith. And they want to share that. They want to participate in that. And that's really the future. You know, we get down on the young generation sometimes, or a lot of times, if you want to look at social media and the news. But these young people are absolutely on fire for the faith. I think the church in the U.S., even though it has its issues, as we've discussed already, with these young people getting older, we're going to see revival, and I hope we're ready for it.
Yeah, that's basically what I was suggesting, and I see it too. Let's talk about Catholicism rocks for a minute. Go back to that.
Go ahead.
What's in the works there? And I know you're working on. We've had a radio show, Catholicism Rocks radio show, on the Four Persons Network, but it's been kind of fits and starts. We've had some really good shows and then some lulls. And so what's in the works for kind of sorting that out as a regular thing?
Well, first and foremost, I am making it a priority to do something every week with that radio program. Every single week, whether it's pre-recorded or live, something will be there every week for the audience. Another, some great stuff that's in the works as well is Spiritus TV. Our founder, Sean Murray, has started an account there for us, starting uploading some content. We're gaining some traction over there. We're going to be doing more stuff on YouTube as well, because even though YouTube has its flaws, and believe me, it does. Don't censor us, YouTube. Okay. But even though it has its flaws, it is still the largest platform out there. And there is still a lot of people of faith out there, and there is still a lot of people searching for truth on YouTube. And so we need to be there as Catholics to share that. Not only that, John, our TikTok channel. A few months ago, my fellow board members asked me to create a TikTok channel for Catholicism Rocks. As of this morning, we're almost at 2,300 followers on that platform. People from all over the world are checking it out, and it's great. All them young people. I mean, there's some old people like me on there, of course, but most of them are young people on there. And so again, that younger generation sharing the faith. I have videos on there about the Eucharist. There's Bible verses. There's some on tradition, all these things, and a lot of great feedback. I mean, there's those Protestant trolls as well that happen with all Catholic content. It is what it is. But at the same time, just a lot of great stuff happening over there. The website, great things on the website. A couple things I love about the website. There is a section to ask a priest. Father Atchley is on there. He's our resident priest, and he's on there just to answer questions, any questions that people have. I mean, he gets back to them pretty quickly within 24, 48 hours. You ask a question, you can ask a question to a priest. You know, some people go on Facebook and say to these Catholic groups, question for a priest. You can go on CatholicismRocks.com, ask a question to Father Atchley. He's going to get back with you. We have our forums. You can ask questions in there, discuss, network, get to know other Catholics that take their faith seriously. And of course, there's the blogs. I post there pretty regularly. My friend J.M. Kramer, who's the guy behind the Lego Church Projects, he posts there once a week as well. We're always looking for more writers. If you're a blogger out there and you want a place to post your stuff for free with no charge, get in contact with me. Be glad to get you a writer account.
Are you planning on having like Cherry and Judson continue to be involved?
Yeah, to my knowledge, they still are. They brought me on the board there, and Judson is the forum moderator, if I'm not mistaken. He's definitely involved. And Cherry posts things on the LinkedIn page very consistently. She's involved as well.
She's great. She's just a fantastic person.
Yeah. So a lot of great stuff happening there. We have our Rosary Challenge happening as well. So our Rosary Challenge basically is you take a picture or a video of yourself saying the Rosary in a public place. We post it for you. It's just a way of getting people to pray the Rosary. Okay. We say it in church. We say it at home. That's great.
Yeah.
We're encouraging people to say it in public, to be that witness for the faith as well.
Yeah. Well, that's a great thing.
Yeah. So a lot of good stuff happening. We're always looking to do more, but like I said, Spiritus TV, the blog, the TikTok channel, all that stuff is going great. And of course, doing the show on a weekly basis, that's my priority. 10 o'clock Eastern time Saturdays on the Four Persons Network. That's where the show goes.
And you intend to keep doing Burnt Toast and Coffee, I assume.
I do. I got busy Saturdays, John. I got busy Saturdays.
Yeah.
Once a month, I need to go to the university and take classes for my teaching degree. But on those Saturdays, I have them pre-recorded. They always happen. Well, I'll get something up there every time. So I enjoy doing it.
Going back to the Bible Catholic Network, okay, so you have Catholicism Rocks, and you have the Four Persons. So walk us through the other networks that you're carrying on the Bible Catholic Network right now. Just talk a little bit about them.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So in addition to Catholicism Rocks and the Four Persons, my friend Gary Machuda has Apocrypha Apocalypse. And Gary has, of course, you know, he's like the expert on the deuterocanonical books.
Oh, he's great.
Check out his book, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger on the Case for the Deuterocanon. But a few years ago, he started a YouTube channel called Apocrypha Apocalypse, which is basically just answering all the objections about the deuterocanonical books. And so I contacted him and I said, Gary, and of course he's had me. Gary is an amazing man. He's been very instrumental in helping me start my ministry. I invited him on for my podcast and he's like, you're a convert. Come on to my radio show. I'm like, dude, like really? Just a humble guy, great guy. But I asked him, I was like, I started this network. I would love to have Apocrypha Apocalypse on. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So I'm posting one episode a week. I think we're three episodes in right now. The latest one I posted was about 61 Protestant commentaries that reference Second Maccabees in the book of Hebrews. So pretty fascinating stuff. And then we got Ann DeSantis's Journey of Faith, where she just interviews people about their faith journeys, what they're doing in ministry. She has over 150 shows on YouTube. And so I contacted her, like, I'd love to have this in audio form. I'll get it pushed out, you know, Spotify, all these other places, just like I do for the Four Persons. Mm-hmm. And then she's also director of the, St. Philip, Nonatus Foundation and basically they help families in crisis. And so we get their show out there as well. I mean, just absolutely great stuff. There's a series right now they're doing about healing from divorce. And that's a big thing. People need that. Let's see. We have Bill Snyder, founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry. We have his Young Catholics Respond program on the network as well. And if you're not familiar with Patchwork Heart Ministry, check it out. Bill recently, about a year ago or 2 years ago now, he released a documentary about the Shroud of Turin. Very fascinating piece. He's doing a lot of great work out there. So yeah, there's some great stuff happening. There's a total of 7 shows on the network now, John. Of course, my show as well, the William Hemsworth Show, which is kind of like burnt toast and coffee. Like, let's be honest. I'm only one William Hemsworth, right? But it's just, and for a lot of the, for all those, I keep the 4 persons advertising in there because you're instrumental in helping Catholicism Rocks and helping me. And so just a way of giving back to you. And of course, getting the 4 persons content far and wide, as many as possible. By the way, John, don't know if you know this, biggest listenership is in Germany. Just throwing that out there.
Wow. Germany.
Germany.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And think about all the issues. Think about all the issues Germany's having in the church. We think we have issues.
Yeah. Why do you think that is, that we're having such an impact there because of the hunger, because of all the crazy stuff that's happening?
People want the truth. That's what they want. Then they're finding it.
That's fantastic. So tomorrow on Catholicism Rocks and Burnt Toast and Coffee, can you give us any early previews of what you're going to be covering, or do we need to wait and be surprised?
Burnt Toast and Coffee, I'm going to answer the question, did the early church fathers teach the rapture?
I'm guessing you're going with no.
Going with no. Were they premillennial? Sure. But premillennial does not mean they believed in the rapture. That's 2 different things. And that's, I'm going to explain that in detail. Catholicism Rocks, I'll be honest with you, haven't quite decided yet. I have a couple things in mind. But if I were a betting man, I would say typology in the Eucharistic typology in the Old Testament.
It's loaded with it.
Exactly. It sure is.
Loaded with the.
You know, I just may go with that since I talked about it here.
So. Yeah. 2 things the Old Testament is loaded with is a light on for people is it's loaded with typology on the Eucharist and it's loaded with typology on our Blessed Mother.
Sure. Yes.
It from Genesis all the way through to, all the way through. It's just all over. I look forward to hearing both those programs before. I have to go to work tomorrow afternoon, but I should be able to listen to both of them before I have to go in. And I look forward to not working 50 hours a week for a while.
I bet. But Saturdays are packed for sure for me, but it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing the shows. I'm blessed to do the shows. It's a privilege to work with great apostolates like 4 persons and Catholicism Rocks and just sharing the Catholic faith any way possible. It's a lot of fun and it's a blessing to do it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, we're blessed to have you, our partnership with you and have you involved in what we're doing. And even more than that, I'm blessed to call you my friend.
Amen. Same here, brother.
Yep. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. William Hemsworth, the Bible Catholic Network, can be found at BibleCatholicNetwork.substack.com. You can see it on the little scroll down there.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah. All right. God bless you, William. And tomorrow I'll be tuning in. You have a wonderful day.
All right, John. You too. God bless, John.